So passing through times and going through topics that we never thought we'd listen to, we never thought we'd hear about. I've got a little feedback on this from Newt Gingrich, who always has brilliant observations. Check this out. Now, we're talking about in the backdrop of the confirmations that the Democrats are desperately trying to derail, trying to make Jeff Sessions look like a racist, even though he fought the KKK and won, and basically defunded the KKK and took a racist murderer and put him on death row and went to his execution. The left is claiming he's a racist, of course. In the backdrop of all this, and the reason that the Democrats can't do anything is because Harry Reid, the very short-sighted and hyper-partisan and extremely nasty former senator from Nevada, made partisanship his guiding star. That's one reason that Obama was able to do what he did, is because it was such a partisan love fest from Harry Reid. Without Harry Reid, I don't think Barack Obama gets reelected. So then we've got a news conference, and the news conference basically takes the confirmation process almost out of the news cycle because of this heavy debate, this basically almost a brawl between President-elect Trump and CNN. Yeah, extraordinary. Here's a little bit from Newt Gingrich on Trump's thinking.
Seen a press conference like that in my entire life, and everything that I said back in 2008, journalism is dead. Trump probably buried it today, at least people's faith and confidence. If you didn't feel that journalism was dead after this election season, where the media, every single media outlet was proven to collude with the Hillary Clinton campaign, I don't know what else to tell you. Joining us now is former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Can you remember a single time the person that was arguing and shouting at the president-elect was Jim Acosta from CNN, and his last line was, "You're not appropriate." Do you ever remember Barack Obama ever being treated like this?
No. But of course, Barack Obama is the press's handpicked, loved candidate. There's a certain amount of yelling back and forth that Reagan used to get into, particularly Sam Donaldson. But I think a couple of things going on here. One is, Trump is deliberately trying to shrink and isolate CNN, and CNN is working hard to be worthy of that. This whole interlude of this, all of our listeners ought to think about this. The so-called intelligence leadership happens to have a two-page document about which we know nothing, which alleges Trump might have done something which they cannot define. And apparently, in the only specific fact which has shown up, the Trump staff person who is allegedly in Prague meeting with Russians has never been to Prague, has never been in Czechoslovakia, has never been in Eastern Europe. Now, how hard was it for the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, somebody to call this guy and ask him? I mean, these things are not, and so what you're seeing is the collusion of the Obama political appointees in the intelligence community and the anti-Obama news media trying to create a totally false image. I mean, you don't talk about fake news. The old word for fake news, of course, is propaganda. This is just pure propaganda. And I think Trump is particularly angry about it because it is such blatant. By the way, I thought Reince Priebus did a great job this morning.
Did you see him on the Today Show? I saw him on the Today Show, and I saw him on Fox News. I mean, he was on fire.
He was tough. He was doing a great job, and it was the right job. I think when people go out of their way to lie about the next president of the United States, you owe it to them to hit him in the forehead and say, "Are you guys just nuts? We're not going to tolerate this. We don't have to put up with the news media being utterly, totally irresponsible and dishonest."
Well, I had mentioned to you that the New York Times hired Glenn Thrush. I've mentioned it a number of times. It's so extraordinary that he colluded with the Hillary's campaign, and instead of being punished by the news media, he was hired by the number one, supposedly the number one news agency in the world, print news agency. It's extraordinary what we're living through, and it is high time that the media is called out. The media has always claimed to be above it. At first, they said they were unbiased, and then when their bias came out, they fought that off for decades. But now they've turned it around and tried to say it is our job to save the republic, and this is how they're trying to do it. 6:54, we'll take another break here. Well, just doing some research on the guy that runs BuzzFeed, the editor, this guy has, his name's Ben Smith, he graduated summa cum laude with the highest distinction from Yale University in 1999. I mean, you know, I'm just, does the Ivy League just pump out garbage now? I mean, I don't get it. I'd like to see what happens to BuzzFeed, but, you know, it just, I mean, are they going to survive? Here's the problem. They put out information on a lawyer used by Trump, and this guy has got to defend himself, for his, supposed actions overseas, and they've proved that he never even traveled over to these areas. So, I mean, this guy's an attorney. He's a top-notch attorney. His move is to sue BuzzFeed for slander and then do to them what Hulk Hogan did to Gawker, just put him out of business. And, I mean, so doesn't this guy, this editor, feel any responsibility for the people that are working for him and spreading libel and stuff? I don't get it. Anyway, we'll take a break on the hour here. but extraordinary days, unbelievable times. And you're listening to it here. We're talking about it. 523-1450-805-6180 to text in on AM Las Cruces. Kelly here. And anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Obamacare. I got some New Mexico stories as well. So, and then we've got a special guest at 7:30 and a half of an hour. Don't miss out on this person.
I thought I heard Buddy Bolin shout, Julia Russell, you're crusty, you don't know what it's all about, you're rambunctious, obnoxious, gonna put you out. I thought I heard Buddy Bolin shout, I thought I heard Judge Fogerty say,
Well, I've got a little interview with this guy that published this piece. I'm going to get into some New Mexico news in a minute, but basically what I understand this guy's saying is that if you listen to him, I believe what he says is that people are talking about this dossier full of fake information against Trump, and that it's already out there. It's influencing people's minds. We need to get it out there. And it doesn't matter if it's fake because people are talking about it and they deserve a chance to listen to it, to see what people are talking about. So here is between Chuck Todd and this guy, Ben Smith, who is, as I say, summa cum laude, graduate of Yale University, which in theory would make him one of the greatest minds in America upon graduation. And instead, he's just a complete hack.
An object that is in play, that is having consequences for the way our elected leaders are acting. You do have to ask the question of why should I suppress them? There are then good reasons, right?
Right.
Once, though, it emerges, as it did last night.
This is, by the way, the editor of BuzzFeed that published this piece against Trump.
In the public conversation that there is this secret document floating around full of dark allegations that we will not repeat to you, that I feel like in this era, you really have to show your readers what that is in an appropriate context.
Right.
In our original report, I mean, if you read what we wrote, it stressed that there were real solid reasons to distrust this. It noted two specific errors.
All right. But you talk about context and you talk about putting the responsibility in the readers. But at the same time, don't you have a responsibility of not spreading false information? Are you knowingly spreading false information?
I mean, I think as with the Obama birth certificate thing during the Obama campaign, this is an incredibly difficult balance that everybody in our business navigates every day.
But you're there not publishing a false. You're not publishing.
You are quoting people saying.
I understand, but
you're
did you publish a false birth certificate?
We certainly quoted the president of the elect of the United States making false claims about it. And years ago, we debated whether we should quote regular citizens in Iowa saying, I don't believe his birth certificate. And I remember us thinking at first, we probably shouldn't, that we shouldn't pass that on, and then saying, you know what, this has become a force that is impacting the conversation. The information environment, fake news, are now they're factors in the conversation.
But haven't you just participated? I mean, look, the fake news thing has turned into this,
I think different kinds of information.
Didn't you just, I know this was not your intent. I've known you a long time. But you just published fake news.
We just published a dossier. No, I think that's a really.
Why is that not a fake? Why is that an unfair description?
I think people love to throw the term fake news around to diminish anything they don't like. But I think this was a real story about a real document that was really being passed around between the very top officials of this country. And then the question you say is, okay, it's okay for you, Chuck Todd, to see this document. It's okay for me to see it. Okay for John McCain. Okay for the CIA. Why is it not okay for your audience? Or why is it, like, which of your audience members are you comfortable showing it to? And I think when people are, as Harry Reid did, top officials are making not just seeing it, making decisions based on it, it is appropriate to tell your audience and to respect the fact that can say this looks like nonsense.
All right. It seems to me there. It's almost as if you're saying there was only two choices you had here, not publish.
Well, anyway, so that's what this guy is saying. And BuzzFeed, New York City private news organization, available in a lot of different languages, 10 years old. And made $167 million in revenue last year. And so they're undoubtedly betting that people are not going to care if it's fake news because they're generating a lot of buzz. All right. So let's get into a little New Mexico news for you. They know how the young lady was killed, the little girl. That's a tragic story of her 10th birthday party turned into a rape and murder, that how she died. She ended up dying from strangulation. So what a story, huh? They're talking about the budget shortfall in New Mexico and how that's going to be dealt with. So the state is funding or is facing, pardon me, a $67 million shortfall, which is pretty remarkable given how much the income from the oil and gas has fallen, and what a huge part of the budget that plays. Of course, the governor is calling for more belt tightening to help deal with the situation. And so the governor's plan is would hold spending nearly flat at $6 billion next year. The proposal that the governor's put out calls for reserves to be replenished by sweeping funds from idle public accounts, including $120 million from public school district reserves. So the plan preserves funding for economic development and public safety while extending recent agency spending cuts into next year and deepening those cuts at the legislature and state universities. So everybody's going to suffer, apparently. So anyway, I do think that, you know, the price of gas is bound to improve at some point. Now, there's another story out there that is pretty remarkable, and one of the articles on it is out of the Wall Street Journal, and you can find another one in Yahoo News. But the peso is in free fall, and investors are looking to leave Mexico and get realigned somewhere else. The Mexican government is obviously concerned about this, as investors, the Wall Street Journal article, the title, Investors Bolt Mexico as Peso Enters Free Fall, concerns about impact of Trump's trade policies is building, and global investors are taking note of this, and also the drop of the peso to record lows, and the concern is that Donald Trump's trade policies could end the country's privileged status among developing countries. So in light of that, the Mexican government said on Wednesday it would throw its relationship, and this is from Yahoo, with the United States wide open when it sits down for talks with the incoming U.S. administration, putting security, migration, and trade on the table in search of a deal. So we'll see something positive comes out of putting some pressure on Mexico in terms of illegal immigration and in terms of some of the trade deals that have not benefited America. And Donald Trump was threatening to tear up the trade agreement that underpins Mexico's economy if he cannot renegotiate its terms in his favor. And so that has a lot to do with the peso falling. Now, President Peña Nieto says all the issues that define our bilateral relationship are on the table, including security, migration, and trade. So, 523-1450, what do you think about that? I think that's good news. I think it's good news because we've got to stop seeing ourselves as Obama and Hillary and these people and the elites put us out there, is that basically they put us out there as the storehouse of the world's stuff. And the rest of the world can come and get stuff from us. They can send their people here. Those people can relocate. And if you look at the model that Obama was working off of, it was really insane. You show up at our border and you've got a right to come in here. We're going to treat you as citizens. And as you recall what Obama said in this insane and extremely dangerous and very destructive model of citizenship, he said, if you vote, you're a citizen. He didn't say in that news interview when they said, well, what happens if an illegal person votes? He didn't say they shouldn't vote. He said, if you vote, you're a citizen. So he's got the cart before the horse. But for whatever the elites, what kind of a world they wanted, at the end of the day, the impact was to throw a lot of chaos into America. If any person who shows up at the border is instantly treated as a citizen or a proto-citizen, what does that mean? You know, and what's the impact? And so, fortunately, we're a large enough country and we're robust enough that we can accept some abuse, but, you know, this is terrible. And I re-listened to the clip that I played from President Obama on the show yesterday, And it was just a complete race war and economic war statement. I mean, the guy is so irresponsible. 716 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces, AM 1450, 52314. That's the 12th of January. We'll take a little segue here and be right back. All right, so extraordinary news that the president is going ahead with all of his plans, all of his promises. Of course, we won't know that for quite a while, which campaign promises that the president will be able to keep or will try to keep. But we do know one thing. We know that Obamacare is dying right now. Now, here's a little bit from NBC News. Obamacare is being euthanized, as we sit here.
In a marathon voting session, lawmakers approved a non-binding budget measure that will make it easier for Republicans to repeal the massive health care law as soon as next month. The House plans to vote on the measure on Friday. Democrats who oppose repealing Obamacare stage a protest during the vote. Many stood and stated why they were voting against that measure.
You know, what is sad is the absolute catastrophe Obamacare became. Nobody is even defending it anymore, really. But the left says that it has to be kept for whatever reason, whatever their argument is. But it's been a failure economically. It's been a failure for people. And here's a little more from Euronews. The sad thing is that the left is so so lustful, so crazed for power that's all they care about is hanging on to this.
The U.S. Senate has taken the first concrete step towards dismantling Obamacare. It's voted to instruct key committees to draft legislation repealing Barack Obama's signature health insurance program.
The ayes are 51, the nays are 48. The concurrent resolution is agreed to.
The resolution now goes to the House of Representatives, which is expected to vote this week. Democrats passed the Affordable Care Act in 2010 over United Republican opposition. They say the act is insuring more Americans and helping to slow the growth in healthcare spending. However, Republicans say the system's not working. The average Obamacare premium is set to rise 25% in 2017. An estimated 20 million previously uninsured Americans gained health coverage through the Affordable Care Act to give it its official name. Coverage was extended by expanding Medicaid and through online exchanges where consumers can receive basic income subsidies.
What they don't mention is almost all the online exchanges have gone bankrupt, were insolvent, number one. And number two, what kind of a health care program rises 25% in 1 year? So you can see why when they passed Obamacare, you might be asking yourself, well, they passed it in 2009, 2010. So if it's so terrible, why did it last so long? The provisions didn't even go into effect until Obama is some of them as he's leaving office or after the last election to hide the incredible impact. And Obama, you know, he acted like he had given birth to the Hope Diamond, but it is so sad to see what these people do when they're given a little bit of power. Now here is Trump talking about Obamacare plan repeal and replace.
Out of what we put forth having to do with health care. Obamacare is a complete and total disaster. They can say what they want. They can guide you any way they want to guide you. In some cases, they guide you incorrectly. in most cases, you realize what's happened. It's imploding as we sit. We're going to be submitting, as soon as our secretary is approved, almost simultaneously, shortly thereafter, a plan. It'll be repeal and replace. It will be essentially simultaneously. It will be various segments, you understand, but will most likely be on the same day or the same week, but probably the same day, could be the same hour. So we're going to do repeal and replace, very complicated stuff. And we're going to get a health bill passed. We're going to get health care taken care of in this country. You have deductibles that are so high that after people go broke paying their premiums, which are going through the roof, the health care can't even be used by them because the deductibles are so high. Obamacare is the Democrats' problem. We are going to take the problem off the shelves for them. We're doing them a tremendous service by doing it. We could sit back and let them hang with it. We are doing the Democrats a great service. So as soon as our secretary is approved and gets into the office, we'll be filing a plan. And it was actually pretty accurately reported today, the New York Times. And the plan will be repeal and replace Obamacare. We're going to have a health care that is far less expensive and far better. Okay.
So when did Obama say that the cost of the health care would go up by...
Thank you very much.
Go up by 25% in 1 year? The deductible, you heard that guy talking from Pennsylvania I put on the show a couple of days ago. The cost of his health care went up by four or five times. It went up from $400 a month to $1,700. At the same time, the deductible went up to $10,000. When did Obama mention that? And now it's going up 25%. Think about that. What right did they have to call it affordable? 727 flying those friendly skies. We'll take a little break here, and we're going to have a guest on the show in just a few minutes. AM Las Cruces, 523-1450, 805-6180. 7:31, and thanks for tuning in, AM Las Cruces. And I've got here by personal request, and gratefully, Isabella Solis, and who's won her race in the primary in the general election, and now has been elected the chairperson of the county commission. That is extraordinary. Congratulations, and good morning to you, Isabella.
Thank you, Kelly, and good morning to you too.
Good morning, and thanks for coming on. And I know you must be a little bit tired from all the stuff going on, but you must have been shocked. You just had barely won your race, and now you're the chairperson. How do you explain it?
Well, it just seems a little overwhelming right now, but I tell you what, I'm just going to take it one day at a time and hopefully just put on a mantle of joy and just be excited about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And look at it as a privilege to be able to do this and to serve in this area.
Sure, fantastic. So you've got so many things that you've got to become acquainted with in terms of the procedure and everything. And but let me ask you this. What are some of your personal goals, or what are some of the goals that you've set in mind when you came on the commission and now that you're the chairperson?
One of the things that I campaigned on was accountability and, of course, transparency. And I think that whenever we begin to look at transparency and accountability, people, and if you begin to tighten the belt a little bit, people begin to feel very uncomfortable, because whenever you have to be transparent and accountable, like an example I can give, you know, as I've been researching other counties, you know, if you clock in and you're not there all day, and then you come back in the afternoon and clock back in, you know, and then, you know, the belt begins to tighten, you know, then people get uncomfortable. Maybe they quit, they go away. But transparency and accountability is very important. So that's just an example. I mean, I don't know anything about that going on, but as my research, that's what I've discovered, you know, some of those situations.
If people clock in and leave for the day, you're gonna they may be punished, it sounds like.
Well, I'm not saying that they'll be punished, but I'm just talking about being transparent and accountable. You know, if you're hired to do a job, you know, you just need to just do your job and that's it.
Show up and do your job. Well, that's a novel concept for Doniana. But in any event, you must have been a little bit surprised to go from a newly elected to the chairmanship. I mean, I was taken a little bit aback but the fact that they've given it to someone who just came on the board says a lot about your personality and your energy. And also, I think people sense that there's a goodwill there. And I think more than anything that you're interested in communication.
Absolutely, Kelly. The way I see it, I think that we're in a new era of county government. Things are changing. We're looking at things from a different perspective. And as a chairwoman, I am still equal with my colleagues. I don't feel greater than them. I want to work across the board with them. We don't always agree, but I mean, we can agree to disagree. But as the chairperson, you know, we don't. What's really funny is that we don't have any orientation to be a chairperson. We got a little orientation from the county as far as the departments and all those employees that are, you know, they're involved in the county. But as a chairperson, you just kind of walk in and they give you a little book, you know, the Robert's Rules of Order, and you read that and you just kind of wing it.
Well, Robert's Rules of Order, that's used by all, it seems like every organization goes by that. So, I'm sure you'll have that down to a science in a few weeks or a month or two. How exciting, though. I mean, just really fantastic. It was just, wasn't that long ago that we were under what's felt like a very intolerable situation. Now everything has changed.
Well, Kelly, I remember when I started running for this office, I was a little unknown, you know, a little gal that was unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just thankful for this opportunity and this privilege to be able to serve the community and to be able to see great things happen. It's not about look where I was and look where I am now.
Of
I'm
course.
Just thankful
no,
to
I
be
know
here
that.
Today. Yeah,
I know you well enough to know that. We have a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Carlos Lobato.
Carlos, always great to hear from you. Hope you're well this morning. And what's on your mind?
Just have a quick question for the lady. Transparency and accountability is a cornerstone of our team. And I do remember when she was campaigning that she, one of her top priorities was going to be to fill the internal auditor job at the county. Is that still going to be her top priority? And that's it. And have a good day, Kelly.
Thank you, Carlos. Thanks for the call. Great question. And so Carlos is asking there, you have mentioned, had you mentioned that during your campaign?
That is correct. I did talk about the internal auditor a lot on my campaign trail. And that is, I have a list of things in my little book that I want to accomplish. And that is on the list. And my next step is to actually go to HR. And actually, she's already given me a job description of the internal auditor. So hopefully we can start working on that. But yes, it is still a priority. I think it's very important to have someone to be able to do the checks and balances.
Just make sure you don't wake up Lynn Ellens, who's sleeping in a recliner in one of the back rooms. But, well, it's so anyway, so you're ran on promises, and you plan on fulfilling them if at all possible.
Well, I didn't really promise anything, but my agenda was these were my priorities.
Right.
Promises is a little strong.
A little strong, okay.
Yeah, but my agenda was, you know, transparency and accountability, and of course, public safety.
Yeah.
And everyone needs their roads fixed. So I'm getting people, can you come fix my road? And, you know, everything is a process. You know, even though, you know, we are requesting things and wanting things, everything is a process. So we still have to go through our manager and tell her, you know, these are our needs. This is what we'd like to do. And then hopefully that, you know, she can execute those and get them done.
So people have, and I mean, obviously, so do you think that it is is it a benefit or a detriment to be kind of an outgoing and friendly person? Do you think that could backfire on you?
You know, Kelly, I think that everyone deserves a kind word.
Yeah.
Whether they're cruel, mean, whatever they mm-hmm. are. But I think a kind word can turn a heart around.
Yeah, sure. That's a fantastic, that almost sounds like from the Book of Proverbs. you know, you seem like the kind of person that likes to help people and has kind of that, you know, a little bit of, you know, just kind of a upbeat personality, a little interest in people, and you're very polite. I guess maybe that's a little touch of Louisiana, the Southern hospitality. But you know, that'll be a change, because I think that the impression was the people in the past that were running things were going to do it their way. And if you didn't like it, you could go jump in the lake, you know, which is not exactly a friendly message.
Well, I tell you what, Kelly, it is really impossible to please all of the people all of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm more than sure that people were probably pulling their hair when they said, no, I can't believe she's chair. No, no, no. Or, you know, and it's hard to please people, but you know, the thing is that no matter what happens, we always have to vote our conscience and do what is right for the people.
Right.
And I do hear people out. I ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I ask the community, what do you think about this? This is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts on it. I get thoughts from people, and then I just kind of weigh them out. I don't just decide, oh, well, I think this is what needs
right.
to happen.
Yeah, so you believe in representational government, the consent of the governed, the people in general have to be brought into decision-making.
Well, I mean, the constituents, they are the ones that voted me into office.
Yeah.
So I have to hear what they have to
say.
Well,
people forget about that when they get into office. But I think that was one of the hallmarks of Ronald Reagan's leadership, was he was friendly and he was well-meaning, and he was an encouraging person. And I think, you know, he's remembered as the greatest president, I think, of our times. So I don't think you can go wrong on that model.
Thank you, Kelly. I hope not.
Yeah. So what are what do you think some of the issues that are in front of us, that are in front of the county commission, that are going to have to be dealt with?
We have a number of things that that need to be taken care of. I have a lot of projects in mind. And right now I'm just kind of going to hold back on those ideas.
Holding your cards to your chest.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, folks, let's take a little break here. I've got Isabella Solis was kind enough to come in this morning. She's on her way to another meeting, but we'll take a little break and come back and talk a little bit more. But surprise victory over the sitting chairman and now the extraordinary step of being elected chairman in his place. It's almost as if Wayne Hancock never existed. Anyway, undoubtedly he's back in Carpetbagger City, Florida, but we'll be right back here. We've got a little bit of local weather for you. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. And folks, 7:44 here. We've just delighted to have Isabella Solis, such a breath of fresh air for her to come in the studio as always. And she's been not just elected to the county commission, but also the chairperson. And, you know, one of the things that you had mentioned to me in the past was your vision. I think when you were, you know, just first met you and was talking to you about your campaign, your vision for community centers many months ago. And so just fill us in on that.
Yes, I had talked about the community centers throughout Doñana. There's about 13 community centers out there, and not all of them are open. And I feel like we need to utilize that space. You know, they're there for a purpose, and we need to use them. There's so many things that we could be doing in those community centers, and I have a lot of great ideas on how to proceed forward with that.
Wow, I can't wait to hear about that. If they're already out there, and some of them are in mothballs, some of them are shut down. Is that right?
Yeah, they're not open. They're not being used at the time.
Huh. Well, that's bizarre. And so we had put a lot of money in the infrastructure, and these could be used by especially maybe the elderly or kids. And
absolutely. There's a lot of things. You know, we could have someone come and teach a GED class there. There's a number of things that could be. And I know some of them are being used to teach, you know, a health and awareness mm-hmm. in that capacity. But there's a number of things that could be done. And hopefully we can use it for educational purposes. And that'll be helpful.
That's a great idea. I love that idea. Community centers. We got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ela.
Hi, Ela. Good morning. Thanks for the call, and hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I just wanted to see and check. I wasn't so sure which phone number to call about the current question you just had online.
Yeah, well, this is you're on the air, as a matter of fact. You're here's your 15 minutes of fame. So what's going on? What are you thinking about?
I was wondering that it was Look Who's Talking, that Christy Ellie and John Travolta.
Oh, Look Who's Talking is what's happening right now between Isabella and I. Well, maybe there's a movie script here. Anything else?
No, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Remember, never too early for an insult. Anyway, thank you. What was her name, Ella?
I don't think that was a real name.
Uh-huh. No, probably not. That may have been Ken Miyagashima. But anyway, it is so great. I was thrilled when I heard that Isabella became the chairperson, because Isabella is very smart. She's got the background in government and in bureaucracy. She's very friendly and well-meaning, and she's got the energy to take on this job. But I mean, it's a challenge anybody. I mean, there's so many things out there that need to be tackled, Isabella.
Well, you know, Kelly, you come into this position, and I've never been into politics, and it's really not about politics for me, but it's a position, it's like a new job, and it's kind of like hands-on, and you've got so much to learn, and I'm willing to learn from other people. You know, I'm teachable, and so I think that once I get into the groove of things, so to speak,
yeah,
and be able to learn the people, and I think that that'll be helpful for me.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. So there's three new people on the board, and then who's also on the board is Ben Rawson, who's the sponsor of the show, and we've got Billy Garrett.
Billy Garrett. Yeah.
And then so that's how many on the board total.
There's five. Yes.
So, wow. So you got more new people than old people.
Yeah, we have the three new commissioners and, of course, the two others, Commissioner Garrett and Commissioner Ross.
So when you got elected to the commission, was the phone ringing off the hook after that?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. There were people that were really happy for me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thankful for those people. And those that were not happy for me, that's still okay, because,
yeah,
you know, that's a prerogative, you know.
Democracy
that's
and free
right.
speech and everything.
That's exactly right.
As we just heard from Ella or whatever his name is. And when you became chairman, did the phone ring even louder?
I did get some phone calls from some congress people and things like that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Okay, I know you got to run off to another meeting.
Yes,
so
I do.
Any concluding thoughts?
I'm just looking forward to working in the Doniana County. I think this is a new era in county government.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be a new era all the way to the top to our new president.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you one more thing. There's some decisions that were made by the county commission that some people were very upset at. Do you think the commission is willing to look at some of the past choices and revisit those?
It never hurts to review things. I think it's important to take a step back and look at things.
Mm-hmm.
And if the decision still stands, so be it. But it does not hurt to review.
Yeah, absolutely. Great news. Congratulations, Isabella.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks for coming on. And folks, we'll be right back. We got one more call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Jesse.
Jesse, thanks so much. You have a question for the new chairperson? Okay. I'm sure that was accidental, but we'll be right back. 750 Kelly O'Connell, I'm Las Cruces AM. Oh, here we go. Hold on a second. Jesse.
Yeah, hey, sorry about that.
Sorry.
So my question to Isabella, obviously congratulations for her nomination and being selected the chairperson. But a big concern of mine was the Sanctuary County. Is that going to be still there, or what's the deal with that?
That's a really good question, but at this time I haven't really given it a lot of thought. I've had so many things on my plate, but that's just something to think about. Another thing on my list to think about.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Sure.
Folks, she was just elected, so I'm sure all of these things are going to be investigated. 751 Kelly O'Connell, we'll be right back. Well, folks, and just concluding a segment with Isabella Solis here, who's she's still in the studio. But anyway, there is some concern out there about fireworks, the ordinance, and I believe one of the county commissioners, not Isabella, had suggested to change the ordinance, and so there's some strong feelings about that. So find out who your county commissioner is and contact them and let them know your feelings on these things. But there's obviously the bus system people feel very strongly about, especially last month. I believe Ben Rossin reported on this show that there were 120 or 140 empty rides, completely empty rides. And that, if you think about the financial pressure that this county is under and the how poor we are, I think it's really extraordinary that we're spending money like that. And that and the UDC, the Unified Development Code, are things that people are going to want to be revisited. So if people want to come to these meetings, when are the meetings held?
The meetings are on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, and they start at 9 a.m.
Is there any chance that the meetings will be held later in the day so that the average person can attend?
You know, Kelly, I even considered that. It was a thought that maybe we could have them in the evening, for those people that are working that would like to come to the meetings and perhaps give their public input.
Yeah.
And I know that people, when they work 8 to 5, they just can't get away. But, I mean, that's just something I thought about. I don't know how the other commissioners feel about this.
Well,
or
how can you have people involved in the government if they're never able to make a meeting? And I know that there was some frustration in the past that people didn't feel like their voices were heard. So, as you say, it's a new day, and there's a lot of momentum out there for political changes from the top down. You know, Donald Trump is currently working on throwing out Obamacare, which is extraordinary,
Right.
And
yeah.
It says he's going to build the wall and make, I guess, Mexico pay for it later if he can figure out a way to do that. But there is the sense of change.
Absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It truly is a new era in government, and I think that we need some change.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And, it would be wonderful if we could figure out a way to kickstart the economy in this town a little bit, and maybe with some of the business law changes that Trump is bringing in, that will help with that. But all right, folks, we've got a lot in the news right now. We've got the confirmation process that has been kind of derailed, not really derailed, but has been put aside really by this extraordinary fight over this leaked documents that have been proven to be basically false. And we've got Obamacare. We have this extraordinary storm in California that a couple of days ago had put 350 billion gallons of water back into the storage system over there, the reservoir system. So I talked to a guy last night who has trying to remember where he was from, Wilton, I believe, Wilton, California. And he had told me he lives, I think, an hour and a half from San Francisco. And he was telling me what it was like there, and half of his town had to be evacuated. So he told me that there were 15 feet of snow up in the hills. And by the end of this, we're going to have 20 or more feet of snow from this one series of storms, if you can imagine that. A lot of stuff going on here. Well, Isabella, thank you so much I know when I called you, you were a little bit tired. But
yeah.
I really appreciate you coming on. And maybe we could do this once a month or something like that, just to give people a chance to talk.
Sure, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's great. And congratulations again
on
your
election. Have a great day.
Thank you. And folks, we going to take on all of these stories in the near future. But you looking for any of the headlines that you might be interested in? But so the replacement of Obamacare, the defunding of Obamacare, and the replacement is probably the big story right now. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Have a great day. Always wonderful to spend time with you, and we'll see you back in 22 hours. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. Ciao. Thank you.